Father, we thank you. We praise your name, Lord, for this morning. Glory to God. Thank you for everything that you do. We honor you and we praise you. We give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. As many as are here, as many that are yet to join, as many as will listen to the replays later on, we just bless the name of the Lord for everyone. Let his word be made manifest and real to us. Hallelujah. Let it be real to us in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord. We glorify you. We thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding into our hearts. We receive that understanding this morning, that inspiration. We receive it, Lord. Grant it unto us to receive it. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. Please feel free to ping others in. I was late sharing the link, but it's out there now. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So we've been talking about this epic series. And yesterday, we covered increase through inspiration of the Almighty. There was so much to say. I couldn't finish it in one lesson. So I said we'll continue that today. And I will continue that. And I will also leave time at the end for us to share and give your comments. And let's see what the Lord is going to speak to us this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, on the subject of inspiration of the Almighty, just a quick recap from yesterday. We talked about inspiration is how that increase is going to come, or the increase is going to come through the inspiration of the Almighty. You know, and the inspiration can come in many forms, you know, come from reading the written word of God, come from hearing a spoken word from God. You know, God can give you inspiration by visions, by dreams, by night visions. I can give you by impression. You can hear something and God will trigger something from it. I mean, there's just all kinds of ways that the Lord can give us that inspiration, but mostly within our spirit, because the Lord in the Word of God tells us in Job 32 and 8 that there is a spirit inside man. You know, and that there's a connection from that spirit that's in you to the spirit of God. That's where that inspiration flows through most of the time. You know, inspiration of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Now, that inspiration is to give us understanding. And that understanding will show us what to do. We covered yesterday how that, you know, Jesus wants us to have understanding. In many of his parables, particularly in Matthew 13, he explained the parable, the sower and the seeds that fell by the wayside. He said, well, that's people who hear the word of God, and because they have no understanding, then the enemy comes and plucks it away out of their heart. You know, so the goal is to have understanding. The disciples asked him, well, why is it you speak in parables and stuff? He said, well, because to them, it is not given. Even as Isaiah has said of them, that these people's eyes are closed, that even when they see, they don't perceive. When their ears are blocked, that when they hear, they had nothing, and their heart, you know, is gross, you know, so they cannot understand anything. So when we see here, it is to understand. The purpose of seeing or hearing the word of God is to understand. When we do understand, though, the understanding is to give us what to do, tell us what to do. And that understanding can give you an advantage. We covered about the sons of Issachar yesterday in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. He talks about, you know, the children of Issachar that had understanding of the times. And this understanding made them to know what they ought to do. So they understood strategy at the time that they were in. And that understanding also gave them an advantage over their brethren and the other people who are at their commandment. You know, so we read that again. The sons of the children of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12 and 32, which were men of understanding of the times. They had understanding to know what Israel ought to do. They were the heads, you know, of 200 or more, and their brethren were at their commandment. So that understanding gave them an advantage. Praise the Lord. And we talked quite a bit about understanding. Then we started to get into the increase, the real increase. And that's what I want to speak about some more today. As a reminder, we talked about one of the first things out of the mouth of God to the man that he created in his own image was increase. That's the first thing he said. He said, be fruitful and multiply, which is increase. And given that that's the first thing that came out of the mouth of the Lord to man, that means it's very important. Now, to male and female, he spoke that thing. So it's both for men and women. And we must understand also that this year, the Lord wants us to experience that increase. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to bring out one more thing before I go into the rest of or part two of this lesson. Again, today's lesson is on increase through inspiration of the Almighty, part two. It's part of our epic series. We've covered the E, the P, we're now in the I. Now, when God draws us in or shows us any phenomena, it is to draw us in. And the ultimate goal for that, so I played that song this morning, Draw Me Closer. The ultimate goal for that is for us to hear the word, hear his word. That's where it's all about. You know, that's where it's all about. We talked yesterday about the story of Moses, you know, when he was in the backside of the desert in Exodus chapter 3, and his encounter in Mount Horeb when he saw the burning bush. And the ultimate, God's ultimate goal in that encounter with Moses was for him to hear God's word, what God was going to say to him at the moment. But God had to wait until he turned aside to see the sight. He said, well, let me check this out. I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. Because normally he expected the fire to be spreading and take out the bush. But the fire was just in one spot, one area, glowing and fiery, but not consuming anything and not even spreading. And so, but when he drew near, you know, out of that curiosity that, look, I want to see what this is all about. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. You know, after righteousness, when they have that hunger, find out what that's all about. And God draws you in with the signs and the wonders. He draws you in with the phenomena of his presence and his spirit. But the ultimate thing is for you to hear his word. And Jesus said that himself, the good shepherd, he leads the sheep by his voice. That's how he leads the sheep. So it is so critical for us to hear that voice. And the voice is in his word. And Jesus said, we read this yesterday in John 8 and 47, you cannot hear my speech. You can't understand anything I say because you are not of God. If you are of God, you will hear my words. And so we need to examine ourselves to see, you know, if we have no desire to hear the word of God. I'm sure not anybody that's here, because you want to hear the word of God. That's why you're here. But at any time, any person has no desire to hear the word of God, and maybe they're not part of his sheep. Or they hear it, but they reject it or don't do it. That's even worse, you know. So anyone that hears my words and does them, Jesus said, I'll liken you unto a wise man that built his house on the rock, which when the winds and tempests and everything came down upon that house stood and fell not, because it was founded on the rock. But the one that hears my words and doesn't do them, or who does not hear them, well, it's worse if he hears them and doesn't do them. Be likened unto a foolish man that built his house on the sand. That sand cannot hold anything. When the tempest came, same tempest upon both houses, this one will fall flat because it was built on the sand. And great will be the fall of it. So the word of God, so, so critical. I want to read to us another encounter about how God draws someone in order to hear the word. That's what it's all about. You know, so this one is about Elijah. You know, all the drama of Elijah in 1 Kings 17 and 18 and so on. And finally, when Jezebel said, I'm going to have your head, you know, because of all that Elijah did and killed all her prophets. And all the, you know, false prophets and the prophets of the group, about 850 people died that day at the hands of, at the commandment of Elijah. He said, don't let any one of them escape. Kill them all. You know, and then Jezebel said, well, God do to me to so and more if I don't make your head like one of those by the end of such and such a time. So he ran for his life. And when he was going, you know, he actually wished to die because he said, look, I've done all these things. Instead of the people turning their hearts to the Lord, they want to kill me. Nobody wants to kill you. It's just a woman that wants to kill you, you know. But anyway, she said that and he ran away. And he's going to have this encounter in 1 Kings 19. Now, I want you to notice that this very place that Elijah is going to have this encounter is very close to the same place where Moses had the same encounter. It's called the Mount of God. That's Mount Horeb. Very, very similar place. Anyway, let's read a part of this story. Now, Jezebel said, if I make not your life as one of these, so do to me the gods and more. So when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, came to Beersheba and so forth, you know, and left his servant there. And he himself went one day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. Depression began to set in, discouragement. And so forth. It was so, when they give up, it was a man just like us. So sometimes when you feel like, you know, I've done all of this, but what does he amount to? Well, you're not the first, you know, but the angel of the Lord, you know, strengthened him and so forth. But God was going to draw him in. There's a place that God was going to draw him into. There was a place, and this place was called Mount Horeb, and God's going to draw him in there. Same place where, very close to where, you know, Moses was. You know, when he came to a cave, he lodged there, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, well, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel forsaken thy covenant, they've thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I alone, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You know, so God said to him, well, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. So he went there. Now let's check out these experiences that he had. Many of us know this story. So when he stood there, the Lord passed by him. There was a great and strong wind that rent the mountains, breaking pieces of the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You know, it's like, you know, the patrollers, the alerters that go before him. You know, so all that wind and all that stuff, they just went before him, but he himself was not there. And then after the wind, there was a great earthquake, and there's a great lesson to learn from this. There's an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. I mean, yet, you know, these things went before the Lord. And after the earthquake, there was even a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. So, all of these things, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, they were all phenomena to bring him to this point of the still, small voice. That's what he was all about. After all of that, then there came a still, small voice. And that's where the Lord was at. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he recognized it, he knew. Then he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the opening. And there came a voice unto him. All of that was for him to hear the voice. It's going to give him inspiration of next steps in his ministry. What's he going to do next? Well, and the Lord asked him again, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he repeated the same thing. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken their covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And then the Lord's going to give him instruction. Praise the Lord. Instruction. Hallelujah. And God's going to tell him also that, look, you're not alone. I've got 7,000 in Israel. All the knees that have not bowed to Baal. You know, and every mouth that has not kissed him. And I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to go and do this and that, and anoint this person, anoint that person, and so on and so forth. So, there was an experience that Elijah had here in Mount Horeb, similar to, very close to where Moses had his. And it was all about getting that inspiration, that voice. So, you know, don't be distracted by the wind. Don't be distracted by the earthquake. Don't be decided even by the fire. Wait for the voice. Hallelujah. You know, so all the phenomena, the signs and the wonders that you may see, well, you know, all of that should make way for us. It so draws in. But what we really want to hear is the word which is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's it. That's the one we want to hear. The wind, the earthquake, the fire, that's not settled. But his word is settled forever in heaven. And so it's so important. So that's a backdrop to the subject of inspiration. Now, increase is coming from the Lord this year. And this inspiration must come from the Lord now to get us there. We read even in Job 33 yesterday how that even while you sleep, you know, God can seal instructions in your heart. The word of the Lord by vision, the word of the Lord by dream, the word of the Lord by reading it, or by hearing the spoken word or the still small voice, all of these is to give us instruction. And you know, God used dreams, visions, night visions and different things to give instruction to his people. At various times in the Bible, we read these things. Even Jesus, as a small boy, as a baby rather, and was just a little baby, hadn't even grown to be anything. He was just born within about 2 years. You know, Herod was trying to kill everybody so that there would be no king. arise from all the children that were told him that there's a child born that will be king. Well, so there can be no king but Caesar. So anyway, God spoke to Joseph by a dream. That's the inspiration of the Almighty. Told him something, you know, and gave him instruction. There be those that want to take the life of the young child. I'm going to tell you what to do. Arise, take the mother and his child and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again. For there are some that want to kill the child. And, you know, the Lord gave him instruction and he followed it to save the life of the child. And a few years later, a little bit later, when this Herod had died, the Lord told him word again. He said, look, now you can arise and go by. It's safe to go back because those that sought his life, they are now dead. And God gave inspiration that way to even bring protection, to bring deliverance. That inspiration came. Again, inspiration is something that comes that we don't know anything about. It wasn't something, you know, learning is good. That gives us knowledge. Some learning can lead to understanding. But when it comes straight from the Lord for something that you didn't know, that's the one we call inspiration. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That's inspiration. Now let's talk about how God will use this to bring increase in our lives for 2025. First, I want to show you all of the places in the Bible, mostly in the Old Testament, where God did a lot of increase for people. And they, you know, had tremendous wealth. Yesterday, I dropped this note in our ears that, look, the way of the New Testament, the issue of wealth and how it's managed and distributed was completely different from the way it was in the Old Testament. And we're going to develop that concept. The Old Testament, you know, God would handpick people that he wanted to bless. And he usually, you know, even though there was a blessing generally for the children of Israel, it was, you know, there was some specific, even before Israel came, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so forth. You know, before he dealt with them as a nation, he dealt with them as individuals. And it was usually each person for himself. Got to handpick somebody and bless him tremendously. And, you know, there were many of them like that. Let's see some of the examples. But in the New Testament, it's a bit different, the way that God's doing things. In the Old Testament, we see Abraham was a man, even after Adam had lost everything God gave him. Well, God called Abraham. You know, in Genesis chapter 12, after the drama of the Tower of Babel in the previous chapter, chapter 11 was where they wanted to build a tower to heaven. And God said, you're not going to do it. And he scattered them. And then turned around and handpicked. You know, that's exactly what he did. He handpicked Abraham. Because Abraham wasn't asking for anything. Wasn't asking for greatness. You know, but the Lord, you know, handpicked him. He said unto him, Genesis 12:1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Abraham wasn't asking for it. God handpicked him, you know, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know, so the Lord spoke that to him. And thank God that he knew the voice and he obeyed. You know, and we see that, you know, the greatness here comes from the Lord. And God inspired him. He heard the word. You know, every one of these cases, they heard the word. The Lord spoke something to Abraham and inspired him to do something. God was going to bless him, but he was in the wrong place yet. See, now that's coming too. Inspiration. Remember when we did the prophetic repair series, we talked about, you know, what God was going to do, possession, but comes through positioning. You got to position yourself in the right place, or God will position you. So God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, but you are in the wrong place right now. You know, there's a certain place that you got to go, the blessing will come. So that's a lesson to learn. This inspiration that God will give to us in 2025 will lead us to the right place as well. You got to be in the right place to get the blessing that, you know, God is bringing. There's a place called Shiloh. There's a place called Jireh. There's a place, you know, that the Lord will bring you into, a place of provision. Glory to God. You know, that's the place, a place of his presence. I will bring you into that by his inspiration. So, you know, and we know his story, that he was actually became very great. You know, in Genesis 13 and 2, the Lord spoke to him again and told him, you know, of the greatness that he would do. And he showed it in his life. In Abraham, Genesis 13 and 2, and Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. See, very, very rich. We're not told how much he had, but he was very, didn't even say rich, but he said very rich. Had a lot of things, a lot of cattle, a lot of silver, a lot of gold. Because the Lord said, of Abraham and Lot was actually even causing even Lot to increase. And both of them were increasing. Their substances were so great, they could not dwell together. Till Abraham had to, you know, ask for, look, let's, for the sake of peace, you go one direction, I'll go another, and so forth. But you see how tremendously God blessed him. What about Isaac? Well, in Genesis chapter 26, let's read the story of Isaac's blessing in verse 12. And how that, you know, Isaac was also blessed tremendously, you know. He did something about it too. We're told that Isaac sowed in that land, Genesis 26 and 12, and received in the same year an hundredfold. Now, that's increase. You know, Abraham didn't have very much at first, but he increased tremendously. He got great substance. The land could not even contain him and Lot. Look at this man, Isaac, coming after him. Started with something small. Though thy beginnings were small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. We read that yesterday in Job chapter 8 and verse 7. Well, this man started out with little. The next thing you know, 100 times what he started with. 100 times. I mean, that's increase. And the man waxed great. You see, now let's look at something that was interesting in the life of this Isaac. He waxed great and went forward. See, always going forward. He didn't stand still. And remember, we've been talking about pushing. He went forward. You know, Abraham also pushed. The Lord showed him, look, expand your horizon. All the land that you will see is what I will give you. I mean, these people learned, you know, how to do it. He went forward. He sowed. He did something. And the Lord blessed him. He went forward. He never went backward. He never stood still. He grew until he became very great. Praise the Lord. You know, this is increase. An amazing, you know, increase. And he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And even the Philistines envied him. Woo-hoo. My goodness. To the point that they didn't say they were doing well in their own right. But then they saw this man was just floor. Everything he touched was like turning to gold, you know. Proverbially speaking. And, you know, it was just like, he was just, I mean, increasing on the left, on the right, and everywhere. And the people started to envy him. Tremendous increase. It's upon this man. You know, and so on and so forth. Well, you know, let's look on the next one. This is coming all down the line to them. How God just favored and blessed them. What about Jacob? In Genesis chapter 30, Let's read the summary of the... These are just summaries. We're not going to read all their stories. But these are summaries of how God blessed them. You know. Now, Jacob in Genesis 30, the last verse says that the man increased exceedingly. That's verse 43 of Genesis 30. He had much cattle and maid servants and men servants and camels and asses. But how did this particular man get there? Well, it was by inspiration of the Almighty. You might know his story with Laban. We've told it a few times here on this platform. How Laban cheated him of his wages 10 times. You know, and so on. I mean, every time he said this thing, the man found a way to keep him there longer and would not allow the man to grow. You know, and so God said, well, it is enough. You're getting what's coming to you. And nobody's going to take what is yours. And the Lord gave him inspiration. Inspiration. In the night, God showed him something. He saw the strong cattle and he saw the feeble cattle. And the Lord showed him what to do. And this is one of the best kept secrets in this Bible of how a man changed the curse of nature. I mean, we've seen a man that parted the Red Sea and all of these things, but my goodness, this man, you know, he influenced the outcome of the cattle when they were, you know, bringing forth the little cows, you know, whether they are going to be strong or feeble and what colors they will be, what color they will be. Because he made an agreement with Laban. He said, look, I don't want anybody to, and the Lord starts to bless me, because I already told him, I don't want anybody to accuse me that I'm stealing your cattle. Cattle was one of the ways in those days. You know, so let's do it this way. All the cattle that you don't like, the ringstrake, the spotted, the this and that, you know, because nobody wanted that. They wanted the one that was single color, white and all of that, and so on, solid color. So, well, all the ones that are spotted, speckled, and ring-streaked, those will be my hire. You know, so when you come among my flock and you see a different color other than the one we agreed on, then you know it was stolen. But if this is the only color that you see, which is what you give me, and these are the ones you don't like anyway, then that will be my hire. Nobody will be able to accuse me. And the man said, that's good. Because those were, at that time, the unwanted cattle and the feeble ones. After that, God gave this man inspiration, you know, in a dream. He saw it. And God told him exactly what to do to cause that transfer of wealth. And, you know, when he saw the strong cattle, which were the solid colors, you know, which were going to be Laban, when they were mating, you know, come to the river, you know, God showed him what to do. Take a stick, do this and this, peel it this way, you know, let it look like it's string, you know, and, you know, just put it before the flocks. And when they mate, they're going to come out, whatever they bring out will be the ring straight and so forth. Even if they were solid color. That's an amazing miracle of diversion of nature. Amazing. God gave him inspiration on how to do it. And he turned it around and all the cattle that was solid color that were strong, you know, when he looked at the ones that were feeble, he didn't care about those, but those that had strong bones, you know, strong structure. You know, he did this thing to them and they all brought forth the colors that were agreed upon that would be Jacob's. And God transferred all the wealth of Laban, who had been cheating him, to him by inspiration of the Almighty. Amazing story. Read it, more of it on your own later on. But that's how God did it. But it all come by inspiration. And he had tremendous wealth. Praise the Lord. Now, later on, God began to deal with Israel as a group and as a nation. And he also blessed them. I mean, it wasn't just individuals. There were times he blessed them as a nation. For instance, the story that was told of them in Psalm 105, you know, how God brought them out of Egypt with silver and gold. Let's read it in Psalm 105 verse 24. You know, praise the Lord. He said, look, the Lord, he increased them, you know, his people greatly, and he made them to be stronger, you know, than even their enemies. Well, because of that increase, of course, you know, people started to hate them, you know, when their enemies around them hated them. But the Lord blessed them tremendously, and he increased them. And this increase comes from the Lord. It's not from what, you know, they did. I mean, of course, you got to do something, but, you know, increase comes from the Lord. And then in verse 37, he said, he brought them forth also, you know, with silver and gold. You know, God made it to where, you know, he kept them, showed a lot of signs and wonders to them, brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was no one feeble among them. God didn't even allow anybody to touch them. You know, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Some, I mean, 105 verse 37. Silver and gold. And it was so, God made them to rob the Egyptians. You know, and at that time it was legal because God said, do it. You know, and those people, they thrust them out. God had plagued those people so much that when they said they were leaving and said, give us some things to go, they were happy to thrust those things into them. Like, just take it and leave. That's how God brought that tremendous, but it was by inspiration. God is the one that told them what to do, how to go and ask all those things from their neighbors and the people who had oppressed them. And God, you know, tormented those people to the point where they were willing to give anything just to see Israel get out of there. A lot of stories, interesting stories in the Bible of how God increased his people greatly. What about David? You know, many people thought that Solomon was rich, but I guarantee you, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you know, all the things that Solomon, you know, I mean, all the wonderful temple that he built and all the money he spent in building and so forth. Well, you know, some of it, the Lord had actually caused David, you know, to prepare. Now let's read, you know, the, let's read the summary of David in 1 Chronicles 29, you know, and verse 28. David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. The time he reigned was 40 years, 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. And he died at a good old age, full of days and riches and honor. See? And his son reigned in his stead. You see, full of riches, full of honor and so forth. You know, and all, there was a lot of provision, you know, that David made provision for Solomon in building the temple. Did a lot of things, you know, for him. You know, everything that how Solomon would build the temple and so forth, and all the things that, you know, David, you know, gave to prepare the temple. You can find some of those readings in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, also earlier part of this place that we just read. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we read, you know, that, you know, when David made, you know, when David had the intention to build the house of the Lord. And the Lord said, no, you're not the one going to do it. But nevertheless, you know, that didn't stop him, you know, and he began to do bring things together for the house of the Lord. You know, he commanded the people to gather the strangers that were in the land, and set mansions, masons, you know, and hew things down, prepared iron in abundance for nails. I'm reading 1 Chronicles 22. I'm now in the verse 3. Prepare these things in abundance, you know, prepare brass in abundance, you know, without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance, you know, and all these things. And, you know, Solomon said, well, you know, my son is young and tender, you know, and the house is great that he must build. So I got to get, you know, all these things ready for him. So it made preparation. So David prepared abundantly before his death. You know, all the things, you know, that most of it that Solomon used came from David. David set up a lot because God had blessed him tremendously. Now, this is how God blessed all those people. Also, Solomon himself in 1 Kings chapter 10. We're told in verse 23 how that, you know, God blessed Solomon tremendously. You know, tremendously. He had a lot of things. You know, God, people brought him presents, spices, horses, and mules year by year. You know, and all the people. He says here in 1 Kings 10 and verse 23, you know, Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. I mean, exceeded, that's increase, tremendous increase. And all the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom. God put it in his heart to have this wisdom. And every man brought him presents, vessels of silver, gold, garments, you know, these things, spices every year. You know, and Solomon gathered so much stuff, so much abundance, you know, that he had, and so on and so forth. So, you know, this is how God used to bless them down through the ages. It was so much. I can go on and on, but I want to jump up to, you know, to something else here. You can see, you know, this blessing, even Queen of Sheba came, you know, visit him. Blessed him with all kinds of stuff, you know, they brought to him. The whole earth sought to hear his wisdom. It gave him all kinds of things. And he had so much year after year. And the king, listen to verse 27, the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. You know, stones that you pick in the ground. That's how Solomon made silver to be. Just, you know, I mean, they were so abundant. Cedars he made like sycamore trees for abundance and so on. And all these things, it was just a, you know, tremendous blessings. All right. Well, that's how God did in the Old Testament. And, but in the New Testament, a new paradigm, a paradigm shift came. And we didn't see God focus too much on individual increase or individual prosperity, even though he blessed, you know, blessed the people tremendous, but we didn't see too, we didn't hear too many stories like this, because God was shifting the focus. The focus was shifted, and God's gonna make all of us rich now. You know, Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, you know, tells us the story how Jesus traded, you know, places with us. And he's doing things in a different way in the New Testament. You know, and he says, well, for you yourself know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich. And, you know, didn't say too much about it than that. Jesus himself said, you know, you buy of me and I'll give you gold. Try the fire. You know, here and there, we refer to it. You know, we see some people who were rich here and there, but there wasn't a whole lot of said into it like it was in the New Testament. But the way that God, I mean, the Old Testament, but the way that God did it in the New Testament, the early church, was he wanted there to be no lack, not just one person, because God is now building, Jesus now building his body, the church, as one unit. And so it's a little bit different here. And if you don't get the right mentality, God's not going to put these things in your hands. God is needing people that understands what he wants to do now. There's a few people in the world that are extremely rich. I mean, crazy rich, madly rich too. But they may be outside the kingdom and they may not be doing things the way God wants. But in the kingdom, that's not what God is looking for. You know, if God blesses you, there's a reason for it. There's a distribution of wealth. He's looking for what I call kingdom financiers. Those who would understand what he's wanting to do now. You know, so if you're looking for increase just to amass it for your own self, you know, no. You know, I mean, you know, James was talking about it, you know, what's the reason, you know, why you ask and you don't get it because you ask so that you can consume it upon your own self. That's not how God is doing things these days. You know, God is doing things differently now in the New Testament. In the early church, we saw stories of those that had a lot. The early church, they gathered together, they actually had things in common in the book of Acts. And those that had lands and possessions and different things, you know, we never really heard too much of their names, but there was a lot of them. We heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It didn't end well with them because they didn't really understand too much what God was doing. You know, it ended badly for them. But there was a lot of people that had wealth. And God suppressed their names, you know, so it wasn't, we're no longer focused on individual wealth. And that's not the theme of the New Testament. You know, the theme now is community increase. Praise the Lord. Now, God will give some few people understanding, but when they have that understanding, they will know what to do with it. They will be like the children of Issachar. They will have understanding. They will know what needs to be done, you know, and they will do the right thing. And God, through them, will show how things must be done. You know, so you can read, you know, how they did things in the days of the early church. Let's read the ending verses in Acts chapter 4. Towards the end there, you see how they did things. You know, there was great power. There was many things, you know, that were happening. Miracles were happening. God was blessing the people. But listen to this. In the book of Acts chapter 4, you know, verse 34. But let me read from verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. We're a long ways away from that, ladies and gentlemen. But that's where it must end. That's where it's going. You know, what God did at first, the first church and the last church, it's going to be the same or what he wants to do. Today, everybody is thinking, well, we are rich and increased with goods. God said, no, that's not the way I want you to do. You are poor, you are miserable, you are wretched. In the book of Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodicean church. But this is what he wants. Multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own. But all, you know, they all had all things in common. My goodness. We're so far away from that, but that's where it's headed. And with great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked. I talked yesterday about, you know, people who have, you know, poor means or small means, you know, at their disposal, you know, your job, maybe they work and have a small job and small earnings and so forth. It made no difference at all because the people that had excess took care of them. I mean, the people that could not afford to send their children to the good schools like the rich people, they sent their children to the good schools like the rich people because somebody else took care of it. And it didn't make any difference at all. You know, they had all things in common. great grace was upon them all. I mean, you know, many, nobody lacked anything. As many as were possessors of lands and houses and different things, you know, sold them, brought the prices of those things that were sold. They brought it to the apostles for distribution. My goodness. Well, this is a pattern. You know, I don't know when we were going to see it, but we got to get there. There need to be a paradigm shift in our heads. We're so focused only these days on ourselves, me and me only. You know, or at most, my family and I. That's the best that people think about today. I mean, even you can even see it in some of our prayers. When we pray, always praying for yourself only, pray for your family only. That's it. What about the body of Christ? So God's got to bring this change. You know, this increase, we got to be a stream. I mean, a river that breaks forth into streams, you know, spread out and so forth like that. Don't end up in a lake, you know, got to bring forth the beauties of God's wealth and possessions that he's putting in the church, spread to the people so that nobody will have lack. And when God gives us increase, what are we supposed to do with it? Some of us have no understanding about that. You know, we just, you know, when you have excess, we go and spend it all because we think that, you know, that's how, why God gave you the excess. And someday you might have a need and you begin to cry to the Lord and say, well, I already gave you. I gave you all that excess, but you squandered it. You know, so the excess is not just for us to blow it away on a shopping spree or traveling spree and all this. Yeah, it's good thing to have fun. For a man to do well, enjoy the good of all his labor is a gift of God. Nothing wrong with that. But there is more behind and beyond that. What God is doing in this increase is for you to do well, enjoy the gift of God, but also help others to do well. Bring others along. When there is a sudden increase comes, you got to invite others. Today, if people have a secret for increase, especially in the body of Christ, the only people that want to share it is people in the world. The knowledge, people in the body of Christ, I don't see them sharing that knowledge. You know, just hide it to themselves. But, you know, when God blessed, when Jesus came on the scene in the story that was in Luke chapter 5 and gave Peter that tremendous catch, that their boat were almost sinking. Well, what did they do? They cried out to the people around them, brought them into the loop to come and experience part of the blessing. You know, not just leave everything and walk away and then say, oh, you know, give a tremendous miracle testimony for yourself only. What about others? You know, we got to learn how to bring others along with what the Lord is doing. Praise the Lord. You know, now, this is so much, I mean, this is so important, you know, that we understand what God is saying. Let me read a small verse to you in Luke chapter 5. You know, and Simon's answering to the Lord said, because Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let out your nets for a draught. Jesus gave him, you know, inspiration of what to do because he was discouraged. They had washed out their nets. He said, they washed out their nets. They packed everything in. They were discouraged. And Jesus said, look, launch out into the deep. Let out your nets for a draught. And Simon said, yeah, well, we've been there, done that. Jesus said, well, do it again. But this time, you know, there's another place where he told him in the story in the book of John and so on. Show you where to put the net. And all the fish came at the voice of the master and they got a tremendous catch. But here he said, you know, when their nets were breaking, they beckoned unto their partners, you know, in other ship, and they came and got part of the blessing. You know, this is what Jesus is showing us how he's going to do stuff now. Now, what kind of increase do we need? Well, we need increase on every side. In 2025, there is a lot of increase that God intends to bring. Let's read this one verse in Jeremiah 30 and verse 19. The increase that the Lord wants to bring to us, you know, on every side. You take and apply it for yourself, you know. And this is what God said. You know, he said, look, from verse 18, thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring again captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be builded upon her own heap and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. You know, God's going to bring restoration. We heard of that in the prophetic repair series. Well, here's another thing he says in verse 19. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that shall make merry, and I will multiply them. That's increase. And they shall not be few. I also will glorify them and they shall not be small. You know, their children also shall be as aforetime. Even spiritual things. See, and some of us, you know, we are distressed that we want our children to come on and be fired up. Well, it's a promise right here. They'll be like as old times, the congregation be established before me. And then I will punish all their oppressors. And their nobles shall be of themselves. You know, they're not going to be ruled and, you know, bullied by others. It's their own people. I'll make leaders of themselves. Their own governors shall proceed out of the midst of them. My goodness. You know, and I will cause him to draw near and approach unto me. The governors, the leaders, engage his heart to approach unto the Lord. He will do these things. So there is spiritual increase, material increase, physical increase, increase in number, even in your family. Psalm 115 verse 14, I read this yesterday. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ha! Hallelujah. And I grabbed onto that and said, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, you'll notice that I spent more time on the how God's going to give us inspiration to get there. You know, versus, you know, what it looks like when you get there. Because, you know, that's the same way it's done in the Bible. God didn't focus too much of it now in the New Testament, but it'll be there. And why? Because the Holy Spirit will be with each of us to guide us and give us understanding that we may know what to do. Like the children of Isaac, an understanding that they should know what Israel ought to do. Now, Psalms 32 and verses 8 and 9 says, I will instruct you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. But don't stop there. We usually stop there. You got to read the next verse. So important, you know. But only be not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. So understanding is so key in the thing that God instruction, you know, the leadership and everything of the Holy Spirit. You must have understanding. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be like the horse and the mule that have to be jerked around, because the horse doesn't want to do what the rider wants it to do. So they got to put bits and bridles in their mouth and jerk them around. Say no. You know, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. I can guide you and give you understanding. Now, understanding is so key to what this process is all about. I will, maybe by the grace of God, I was thinking about that yesterday. I've taught on understanding a few times. But someday, maybe after this series, I will bring a lesson just on understanding, because it's so key. It's part of the pillars, you know, of wisdom. But you know, maybe we'll talk about that. But this understanding that the Lord wants to bring us is how things are going to come to us. Well, open your mind, give you understanding, and you will acknowledge the Lord, you know, and give him the glory. God gives understanding to men of the world sometimes, but they don't acknowledge the Lord. they just take the glory to themselves. That's all right. I mean, God doesn't, you know, just because God bless somebody tremendously and he doesn't give glory to God, God doesn't always come down on them like he did for Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, against Nebuchadnezzar. God showed us in the story of Nebuchadnezzar that he can do it, but he doesn't always do it, you know. And, you know, because God doesn't always do it, you know, people are emboldened in their hearts to just do anything they want. And sometimes they don't give glory to God at all. You know, well, that's not us. You know, we must give glory to God. You know, when the wrath of God is, you know, when thy judgments are in the earth, the Bible say, well, people will eventually give glory to God. We don't need to wait for that. You know, we have already been judged with Christ at the cross. So now, you know, the heart of us, the heart of men, people of the Lord, must give glory to God right at the beginning. The story of Nebuchadnezzar, you all know it. And at the end, he said, look, God is able. Now I know it. That he ruleth in the affairs of men, gives it to whomsoever. Because at first he said, look at this great Babylon that I have built by the brightness of my glory, for the excellency of my kingdom, and by the work of my hands I've done these things. And Lord said, really? I'm going to show you. And the Lord showed him. And for 7 years he didn't even know who he was. God turned his heart into the heart of a beast. Started growing whiskers like a cat, claws like a cat. Look like a monkey and went in the bush for 7 years. And God preserved his stump, though. He said, preserve it. Come back because I want to show my lesson in him. And at the end, he said, now I know that God doeth what he wills in the armies of heaven, and no one can stay his hand, or anyone say to him, what doest thou? And everyone that is lifted up in pride, he is able to appease. He said that finally. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when God increases us, let's not do evil in our hearts like Nebuchadnezzar and not give glory to God. And a lot of people are doing it and getting away with it. So it encourages people to continue to do it and get away with it. They are giving glory to God, but their day of reckoning is coming. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11 say, because sentence against an evil work is not executed, you know, speedily. Well, therefore, the heart of people are set to do evil. You know, just because God doesn't, you know, do, you know, strike people down when they do the wrong things or discredit the Lord. Sometimes he will do it, sometimes he won't. You know, people continue to do evil. But I guarantee you, you know, he said, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and even though his days is prolonged, yet the Lord said, yeah, surely I know it will not be well with them, you know. But it will be well with the people that fear God. That's right. Which fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked. The final analysis, it will not be well with them. There's a story that Jesus told of a very rich man and a poor man called Lazarus. This is not the Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. But a poor Lazarus man who sat at his gate and the dogs were licking his, you know. And the rich man didn't care for the poor man. You know, and when they both died, one ended up in one place, the other ended up in the other place. And there was a lesson told us there. You had your time. You lived sumptuously while you were in the world. This other man lived poorly. You know, you got your good things, but what did you do with them? You know, now it doesn't mean that every rich person is going to hell, every poor person is going to heaven. But this was this particular case, you know, so we're instructed by the Holy Spirit to use the blessings of God for his glory. And a great glory, a great blessing is coming from the Lord. Now, I'm going to wrap up this lesson here. Because I want to hear what others have to say. Yesterday, some people wanted to speak, but there wasn't enough time. We'll give some time today. But let me round up here. First of all, increase is part of our epic story, epic series. I'm giving a summary now. God gave the EPIC as an acronym, E-P-I-C. We've covered E, which is to engage. We got to engage. We can't sit on the sidelines in 2025. And God gave us the rules of engagement. The P is for us to push. Push old limits to new horizons. Push ourselves and do more. You know, see more, get more. Believe for more, you know, and get more. And, you know, go forward. You know, say Isaac went forward. He didn't stand still. You know, you conquer one place, conquer more. The Lord said, you dwelt in this place long enough. You know, move forward. Get it. Engage and contend and get more. We talk about all those things. And now we're talking about increase. You know, you do those first two things in order to come you into increase. But behind that increase has to be the inspiration of the Lord. That's why I'm hammering on it. So we don't think that just because we did this or that, you know, God will bless this or that. But the real blessings come from inspiration. Again, inspiration is something that comes from the Lord, not just what we did or what we knew. You know, God can use your knowledge too. That's good. But when you don't know and yet God shows it to you, well, that's inspiration. And so now we've talked about increase that will come through inspiration. But the Lord's been giving us a caution that prepare your hearts. The increase is coming, but what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be a good steward? Jesus told stories of, you know, stewardship, you know, and he gave them certain things and come back and say, well, give account of what was given you. And there were some good stewards. One that I received five was a good steward. Got five more. One was received two. It was a good steward. Got some more. One that received one, he was not a good steward. He was a bad steward. And he did nothing. Buried his talent. You know, that's where the lesson of bury your talent comes from. You know, and eventually it was taken from him. So we learned all these things. And finally, we learned that whereas God will bless his people, in the New Testament, we got to come into the lessons of, you know, sharing and communal and so forth. We're not quite there yet, you know, and it's not, the time is not quite right. That's why I didn't spend too much time. It's holding me back on saying certain things, but it's coming. And that's where we're going to get to. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap up that there. And lastly, by the grace of God, next lesson in this epic series will be on the celebration. All of these things, the engaging, the bringing, you know, your A game and so on, pushing yourself in limits, you know, pushing out old limits, discarding the limiting factors, you know, and so on and so forth, believing and reaching forward to things that are before. Paul said, look, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things that are before. I press toward the mark. He was always pushing, always pressing. You know, he had achieved some things, but he said, what things I had achieved, those I counted were lost. You know, I'm going to get more. I'm not going to just sit down there and rest on my oars. You know, but remember the Holy Spirit said, you know, don't throw away what you already gained. Keep it and add to it. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance. Add to temperance patience, etc. Don't throw away. Build on top of it. They are building blocks. Praise the Lord. And lastly, we'll be talking about celebrations that are coming. And I declare prophetically, I'm going to pray over this room right now. I declare by the word of God that everyone that's listening in today or that listen to this series, celebration. Your life will be this year marked by celebrations. Praise God. God will line up the trees of the field to clap their hands for you. It's going to be celebration in your quarters, celebration among the people of God, laughing in and out of church, laughing in and out of this platform. Believe in God for great celebrations because, you know, because God said it is so. It is time. It's a time of refreshing. God said everything that the Lord does starts from his unction. And I thank you, Lord, for this unction, Lord, and I put it upon the people. I cover the people that are in here with this word today, the word of blessing. Hallelujah. The word of blessing which we have pronounced and declared in this place today. Let it catch up with the people. Everyone that's in here, in the name of Jesus. I declare that your minds, our minds are open to the Holy Spirit. Receive instruction from the Almighty. Hallelujah. Receive inspiration from the Almighty. I declare that fresh anointing, fresh water anointing coming to us. Hallelujah. Giving us understanding what we must do. Strategy. How God's going to bring the increase. And I declare that each one of us will listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, for his ways, our ways, you know, are not necessarily the same, but we must align our thoughts and our ways with his ways. And the story of one person may be different than another, but God will bring us all to the place of blessings and celebrations this year. We give the Lord the praise and give the Lord all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.